Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to another episode of Sour Graps. I'm your host, Alex Pulowski, and everything sucks. Getting a little late start tonight because I had to watch the Phoenix Suns they were the biggest benefit of karma that I've ever seen in basketball. Because the refs made a terrible call trying to make sure that Los Angeles is represented in the NBA Finals. It's just a conspiracy every year that only big market teams are wanted in the NBA Finals by the NBA. This is a conspiracy that is 100% true. And so they want to make sure that LA at least won one of two games in Phoenix. So there was a moment where the Patrick Beverley over the Clippers knocked a ball out of bounds. And for 100 years in basketball, whenever that happens, it's off the defender. But the refs decided, no, we're going to replay that and we're going to watch it over and over again. It's going to be off the person with the ball, Devin Booker. And I went back and then they fouled Paul George, who was playoff plays like poop. And he missed two free throws because he's playoff plays like poop. And then the Suns got a miracle. He threw up a lob on a timeout. Alley-oop on the inbounds play to win. I've never seen anything like it before. Ball don't lie, as they say. As Rasheed Wallace made ball don't lie. The refs tried to give the game to the Clippers. And playoff plays like poop said, no, I don't think we're going to be doing that. Because remember, I play like poop in the playoffs. And that's what happened. I have no dog in this fight. I am petrified that my Milwaukee Bucks are somehow going to lose to the Atlanta Hawks. And even if they don't, I am petrified they're going to get swept by either the Phoenix Suns or the LA Clippers. I have zero confidence in my team. 100% love for them, but zero confidence because that's just how I am as a sports fan. Anyway, we're here to talk about Raw, I guess. Raw and parts of Hell in a Cell. So, the main event of Hell in a Cell was Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley. Now, I didn't watch it. I watched the entirety of Game 7 of the Philly and Atlanta series. Great game. Can't believe Atlanta won. Well, I can because Philadelphia has an all-star point guard who refuses to shoot the ball. So that's tough to overcome that. But anyway, I watched that entire game. I didn't watch any of Hell in a Cell. I thought to myself, I feel free not watching WWE programming when it's on. It makes me feel free. But I knew I had to watch it eventually, so I went back and watched the Raw matches. I'll watch the SmackDown ones before I talk about SmackDown. But I want to skip through and watch the Raw matches. And the Drew and Bobby match, people felt like maybe it was going to be a big-time title change, right? Because that's why you move the Roman and Ray match off the card entirely to make sure that Drew and Bobby have their big time match as the sole main event. No co-main, no nothing, just this big time thing. But no, Bobby retained. Brutal match. Those guys beat the absolute shit out of each other. And one time, Bobby Lashley, Uranagi'd or rock bottomed something, drew off the apron through a table. And then somebody was under the ring and pulled the crash pad that was there under the ring and then pushed some broken pieces of table out from under the ring. It was weird because that's not really a spot you need to do a crash pad for, I don't think. But they did it anyway. They didn't need one. I'm not sure why they did it. It was really weird. But the story of the match is Drew accidentally hits a ref with a chair. And then there's no ref to count the pin. So he begs the ref that's outside to come in. And the guy does. But when he opens the door, then MVP comes inside. MVP gets involved. Again, these guys beat the absolute shit out of each other. Brutal match. And so how does it end? With a distraction roll-up. Those guys literally put their heart and soul into killing each other. How do you book the ending? Distraction roll-up. This fucking company, man. Like, get out of your own way. It's not that hard. The Joe Hulbert, the illustrious, great Joe Hulbert, sent out a tweet. Just brilliant analysis. I have a heel champion who I don't want to beat. I want him to keep the belt. And I also have a top babyface challenger who can't lose clean anymore. Like, I can't do that to that guy. We have plans for him beyond this. He can't lose clean. So what do? I put another guy in a match, a triple threat, and I pin that guy. Then I fire him like a week later. And then I do the match over again between the two guys, the guy, the heel champ I don't want to beat, and the babyface challenger that can't lose clean. Putting me right back in the same predicament that I was in before. Drew just lose. Just have Drew lose. I mean, if you want to do the stupid thing where MVP grabs him by the ankle so he can't do I understand the storytelling of it was him who hurt the first ref. Even though it was an accident, it was still him who did it. Then he calls for the second ref to come in. And when that second ref comes in, so does MVP. MVP grabs his ankle. That's a story. You're telling a story there. I get it. But instead of having Bobby Lashley come up from behind him and get a schoolboy on him grabbing the tights, why not have, after he turns around because MVP's got the leg, how about Bobby Lashley comes up behind him with a released German suplex and McIntyre staggers to his feet right into a spear for the 1-2-3. You can beat Drew McIntyre that way. Doesn't have to be a distraction roll-up. It doesn't. You did the distraction. I'm granting you did the distraction. I'm granting it to you. That's a hell of an ask from me. But I'm granting you the distraction. But then have him get pinned by an actual move, not a roll-up. After that match, a roll-up? A schoolboy with the tights. That's the ending you book to that match. So anyway, Bobby Lashley comes out and he's out there with the hose and HOES. And Mac and MVP, and they're going to celebrate. It's the same basic shit you see every week now. But then the New Day come out, and it's because they're going to raise a glass to a toast. This is the same shit that happened a few months ago now, where they came out with Rotten Tomatoes, right? And they threw them at Elias and Jackson Riker and MVP, not an MVP, and Ms. Morrison. They came out with the Rotten Tomatoes to interrupt a acoustic version of Hey Hey Hop Hop, right? But there's no way they knew they were going to do an acoustic version of Hey Hey Hop Hop. So they would have had to hear the acoustic version of Hey Hey Hop Hop being played and then run over to catering and say, hey, do you have any Rotten Tomatoes? And catering would say, oh, absolutely, here are several dozen Rotten Tomatoes. Thanks. And then they rush them down to the ring. Well, in this case, MVP says, let's raise a glass to Bobby Lashley. And immediately, Kofi and Xavier are coming down the ramp with a big platter of toast. They say, well, we wanted to be part of the toast. Here's some toast. And they start throwing the toast. Did they know there was going to be a toast? How would they be able to procure 3 loaves worth of toasted bread in that space of time? It beggars all. You're not. It strains credulity at the very least. Please don't do that. Okay? Also, how immature are Kofi and Xavier that they come out and just start throwing bread into the ring? Here's some toast. Take some toast. I'm going to throw some toast at you. Anyway, Kofi cuts a promo saying, I want my match. In WWE, in Money in the Bank. Right? And Bobby Lashley's like, sure, you can have your match. Like, we just got done with Hell in a Cell, guys. We got a month until Money in the Bank. You don't have to make all the matches for Money in the Bank tonight. You don't. But they decided, yes, we do. Which doesn't make any sense to me. You have a month. And the reason that Kofi gets it is because he asked for it. Why doesn't everybody come up and ask for it? You know? Like, it's just a weird deal to me. He just walk out and say, I want a match because I beat you a while back. So anyway, we'll keep it one-on-one by facing Woods tonight. So this is very confusing because I still don't necessarily get it. Bobby Lashley says, we're going to keep this a one-on-one match, and I'm going to beat up Woods tonight. And then he's going to be out. He's not going to be around to help you. Okay. But I accept your match. I accept your challenge. Says, you know, fine. You know what? Let's do it. Fine. Let's do it. He says, but I'm gonna face Woods tonight. And Woods says, I accept your challenge. But how about, I accept your challenge, but the match is going to take place inside Hell in a Cell. And the cell, of course, still hanging above the ring. Remember how the USA Network was pissed that Fox got a Hell in a Cell match, a championship Hell in a Cell match, Roman versus Rey on Friday? They were pissed. Like, hey, why did they get a Hell in a Cell match and we don't? Well, I mean, apparently, just out of the blue, total coincidence, they didn't remove the cell from above the ring than from the night before. So Xavier Woods, because he has this power, apparently, says, you just challenged me to a match, Bobby Lashley. So I, without checking with Adam Pearce or Sony DeVille or anybody in the back, I accept your challenge, and I have declared unilaterally, me, by myself, that this match will take place inside Hell in a Cell. I don't think you're allowed to do those things, Xavier. I don't think that's a thing you're allowed to do. And then Lashley doesn't get a say in the matter. He just seems upset that he has to face Xavier Woods inside Hell in a Cell. Why is that a thing that you couldn't find a different reason to do it? I don't know. Woods cuts a promo. He's very, very, he's a very good promo. He's very, very good. I like Xavier Woods a lot. He is constantly, and last night was no exception, booked as the New Day's kid brother. So he's the one guy who doesn't have a singles reign. Like, Big E was recently Intercontinental Champion. A couple years ago, Kofi Kingston was WWE Champion. Nothing for old Woody. And so he counters the insults from MVP and Bobby Lashley by saying, I have a YouTube channel called Up Up Down Down with 2 million subscribers. And MVP is caught on camera saying, so what? Which is true. You can't be like you're, you know, you can't counteract the shitty booking that you've received. He says, I am an 11-time tag team champion. And it's true. But Xavier Woods is booked as only a tag team specialist and not a singles guy. They had a whole bunch of qualifying matches for the Money in the Bank. Why isn't Xavier in one of those instead of this? Xavier Woods in Money in the Bank would be great. A few years ago, Kofi Kingston represented the New Day in Money in the Bank, and he was great. But Xavier in Money in the Bank would be really interesting to me. I don't know if I believe he'd win it, but I'd sure as hell be rooting for him to win it. So, WWE apparently says that Xavier must beat Bobby Lashley if Kofi wants the WWE title match. But later in the night, there's a graphics that is shown that confirms the match is already official. Kofi versus Bobby Lashley. So, Lashley versus Woods in a non-title Hell in a Cell match. The Hell in a Cell changes people. J.K. Schwall brings up a good point. The Hell in the Cell changes people. It'll shorten your career. You'll never be the same. Well, if that's the case, why is Bobby Lashley having two Hell in a Cell matches in back-to-back nights. Well, that kind of ruins the mystique a little bit, right? No? Just maybe? It should only be used as a feud ender, and they should not be a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view where you do like four fucking matches inside Hell in a Cell. Not into it. Don't like it. Stop it. AJ Styles versus Ricochet is a tag team is a Money in the Bank qualifier match. You think to yourself, well, AJ is obviously winning that. Well, not so fast, my friend, because we see a video from earlier today where Styles and Omos are having words with the Viking Raiders, who are number one contenders. They became number one contenders so long ago that I assumed they were having their match at Hell in a Cell, and they did not. Anyway, AJ says, I'm going to win this qualifier match. Then I'm going to become Mr. Money in the Bank. Then I'm going to become WWE Champion. And after that, then we'll see about you guys getting your tag title match. And then he slaps the turkey leg out of Ivar's hand. So Ricochet says he's a little inset promo. He belongs back at the top. He says, "Well, we'll see." It's a fine match. These guys are very good together. The match turns. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about this, guys. I'm tired. but these guys are very good together. Ricochet's like suplex game is really strong. He's a really good dude. He's so good in the ring, and I wish he had friends that weren't child molesters. Anyway, the Viking Raiders run out and attack Omos while the match is going on. Omos is able to get them away from him, and they're standing, you know, in front of the barricade. So he runs to take them out, and they sidestep him, and he runs to the barricade. Now, this does not count as a distraction loss because AJ Styles does see this, but he recovers fast enough to stop an attack from Ricochet and to counterattack back, knocking Ricochet back into the ring. Then he goes for a phenomenal forearm, which Ricochet counters into his recoil. He's like one-knee code breaker. And he gets the victory. Ricochet's won. Ricochet in a Money in the Bank ladder match, that could be a lot of fun. He's not going to win it, but it could be a lot of fun. Huh. I wonder if that theme is going to carry through the rest of the night. So Randy Orton's backstage. Riddle comes up and just talking nonsense. If I win the briefcase, because we both have matches for the briefcase, the qualifying matches, I have my stash in there. Your stash? A stash of Whoppers in case I get hungry. Orton's annoyed. Do you have any pointers since you've won Money in the Bank before? Stay out of my way. Wouldn't it be awesome if we both were in the Money in the Bank match? They would be fighting for a chance at the WWE title. Blah blah blah. The RK-Bro thing, they still haven't, like, fully committed to, because I think they realize that once they fully commit to it, they got to, like, push the guys. They're not ready to push them yet. I think they're getting the titles at SummerSlam. That's what I think they're going to do. Remember last week how Eva Marie showed up and she had Piper Niven with her, but the announcers didn't know who Piper Niven was. They didn't actually name her Doudrop then. where we thought they were going to be named Dewdrop. They just didn't know who she was. And then she won the match on behalf of Eva Marie and got out and was overjoyed and hugged Eva Marie, and Eva Marie made a face like, I don't like this. Don't touch me, please. And then Eva Marie cut that. She just didn't even cut a promo. She just said, Eva Marie. Well, the women's qualifying matches are tag matches. Now, all the men's qualifying matches are singles matches. One-on-one. There are 8 spots available in each Money in the Bank ladder match. That means you're going to have 8 qualifying matches, 4 on Raw and 4 on SmackDown, I would assume. But the women are all in tag matches, which means that you're going to have 4 total matches. That's why the women are being the matches are being decided via tag team, because that way there are less women's matches on TV, because that's what Vince likes, less women's matches on TV. It's impossible to argue against it now, because he could have had them have singles matches, but he didn't. So the first one is Asuka and Naomi versus Eva and her partner. Like, they won't even put it on social media or even in the match graphic that shows up on Raw. They don't even say who her partner is. So they're walking backstage, and last week Piper Niven came out wearing like a skirt, almost like a kilt, and a jacket that was really weirdly sized to her, and a choker. And she took all that shit off before she walked down to the ring. This week, none of that. It's just her gear she's wearing. And she walks up with Eva Marie, who's wearing some kind of shawl, because it's a shiny shawl. And Kevin Patrick shows up and says, hey, we wanted to know, like, what happened. Tell me about, what it was like coming back. He doesn't say, as he should, hey, you had this person wrestle the match for you last week. What's her name? He never says that. That would be like the big thing. Like, you had this person wrestle on your behalf. What's the deal with that? And who's that? I mean, he should say that's Piper Niven, but he doesn't, because it's not Piper Niven, except for the fact that it fucking is Piper Niven, because Eva says it's been 5 years since I've been WWE. Everything had to be perfect. I went and got a mani-pedi, and my nails look amazing, and her nails are not wrestling nails. Her nails are long and fake, and I'm pretty sure you don't wrestle with like Lee press-on nails. I'm pretty sure that's a bad idea. So I went and got a mani-pedi, but I unfortunately picked up a cold, and then she does the unthinkable during a pandemic. She coughs in her hand. She goes, can't do that, man. You got to cough in the elbow. Everybody knows that. But I knew everybody couldn't wait. So instead of forfeiting, which I could have done, I got my protege. And then she says, what was your name again? Hey, what was that name again? And then Piper Niven says, my name is, so she was going to say Piper Niven, right? But, and then Eva cuts her off and says, looks up and down and says, Dewdrop, right? It is been written everywhere in print that WWE uses it. It has been written D-O-U-D-R-O-P. But if all you did was hear somebody use the word, the phrase, the name, Dewdrop, you would not write it down that way. You would write it as it is actually a real word, D-E-W, drop, a drop of morning dew. Why is it spelled D-O-U-D-R-O-P? Eva Marie doesn't say, this is how you spell it. It's her who comes up with the name. Regardless, Piper Niven is obviously not a fan of the name. Doesn't like it at all. Eva comes up with the name on the fly. It's not like something she workshopped. She looks at Piper Niven and the name just comes to her. This is stupid. And then they walk away and Eva says, Dewdrop, my robe. And Piper Niven, I will never refer to her as Dewdrop. If Eva calls her Dewdrop, I'll refer to that. But she's Piper Niven. And she picks up her thing and she walks away behind Eva looking dejected and sad that her name is apparently now Dewdrop. And here's the fucking shit. Last week, the commentary desk had no fucking idea who she was. Right? I think she's Piper Niven. But Eva Marie is calling her Dewdrop. So if she is Piper Niven, then everybody from, at least Corey Graves, maybe Jimmy Smith doesn't know because it was his first fucking week or whatever, but Corey Graves knows who Piper Niven is, right? Like Byron Saxton's been with the company for years. They know who Piper Niven is. Piper Niven has had multiple shots at the NXT UK title. Like, it's fine if fans don't know who she is because they're casuals and don't watch NXT UK, but people who work for the company should fucking know who Piper Niven is. It's disingenuous for them not to know. And it belies all this shit. If she's Piper Niven, that you had to know who she was. But if you didn't know who she was, then she can't be Piper Niven. They already know that we hate the name Dewdrop, and they already know that we hate Eva Marie and her together because they're already breaking them up. Asuka and Naomi win this match. Eva never actually has any offense. She spends a lot of time like on the outside, like not even on the apron, on the outside. And she tags in herself when Dewdrop is ready to jump off the middle ropes, do a splash or an apron or something. Elbow, excuse me. She tries to pin Naomi. But Naomi kicks out. So Eva wants to tag Dewdrop back in because she doesn't know how to wrestle or refuses to, or she doesn't want to break a nail. And Dewdrop, who is pissed about the name and pissed about Eva Marie tagging herself in to get all the glory, steps off the apron and won't tag herself in. So Eva Marie then gets rolled up and pinned. So they're already breaking up this tag team that they just debuted. They're already running a breakup angle. Whether they finally go through with it or not, I'm going to say probably or not. Still ridiculous. All of this, this Eva bullshit with the vignettes and everything, to debut her, to have somebody else take the match for her, she can't wrestle. Like, unless the gimmick is make us think she can't wrestle, and then when she finally does wrestle, it's like, oh, wow, she's actually really good. Or it's just, why bring her back? Why bring her back? The gimmick before wasn't that great. You have other women on the roster, or you did before you fired them all. Still can't get over the fact that Doudrop is spelled D-O-U, drop, but nobody's actually spelled it for anybody. So how would you know that's the way it's spelled? It's just fucking stupid. Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville are going to head to the ring. They want to discuss an incident in Hell in a Cell. Okay, Raw Women's Champion, Raw Championship at Hell in a Cell. Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair. Pretty good match. These two women have a lot of good chemistry together. I really like it. And I thought that there's a great overarching story that you could tell. They don't do overarching stories, so, you know. Rhea, big for her britches, NXT champion. Became NXT champion in January? Yeah? After the Royal Rumble, which Charlotte won, she shows up on Charlotte's show and says, why don't you challenge me? I'm challenging you to challenge me for the NXT title. Which, you know, shows she's not afraid of anybody, but probably not the smartest choice. And then she loses the match at WrestleMania. Now everybody thinks she should have won, but could have been a bigger part of a longer storyline. Which, of course, that's not how they do things, but they could do a longer storyline where Rhea loses the NXT championship to Charlotte Flair and then is unable to regain it and then never regains it and then winds up back on Raw as Raw Women's Champion, having beaten somebody else for it. And then Charlotte shows up and Charlotte says, hey, remember me? I'm the one who took your title. Now I'm going to do it again. And this time, Rhea she can't allow herself to lose another title to Charlotte Flair. So she cuts corners and she brutalizes Charlotte outside of the ring, won't do anything. Charlotte's still a horrible bitch, and everybody fucking hates her. So Rhea isn't a heel, but we can see that she will not let Charlotte take another title from her. They're basically doing that story already, but they're just not saying they're doing the story. Rhea should cut an actual promo using her actual words about how much it sucks that she has Charlotte coming after her title. And Charlotte will be like, listen, last time you came to where I work and you spit in my face and said, I bet you can't take this title, bitch. And then I did. So now I'm going to take that one from you too. And Ripley cut corners in her match versus Charlotte at Hell in a Cell. Charlotte kept attacking the leg And Rhea knew that it was only a matter of time before she lost. She was pissed at Charlotte. Really pissed. And in a lot of pain. So she attacked Charlotte and got disqualified. Did she use a chair? Nope. Kendo stick? Nope. Pair of pliers? Blowtorch? Nope. She flipped the table cover from the announce table on to Charlotte, kind of. And that, kids, is a disqualification. Now, Randy Orton can hurl his opponents at the table cover. But if he were to take that table cover off and hurl it at his opponents, he'd be disqualified. That's fucking stupid. It strains credulity. It's a good match, too. Terribly booked finish. That's WWE for you. Because I think Vince is not very involved in the move-to-move match layout. How are we going to do this? How are we going to do go from this to this, this beat of the match to the next one? Vince just says, this is how the match ends. And then you got to like work backwards from there. That's what I feel like is probably happening, right? And Vince said, this is how we're going to do it. And they're like, oh, shit. Well, let's try and make the rest of the match good. And they did, to their credit. But the finish was shit. It was dog shit. It was butt. It was dog butt. With shit hanging off of it. Anyway, on Raw, they're like, Rhea Ripley, will you please come to the principal's office? Now, you really shouldn't have done that, Rhea. And Rhea's like, I only did what Charlotte would have done to me. It's like, that may be, that very well may be, but you shouldn't have abused the rules. Looking, Flair abuses the rules all the time. Nothing ever happens to her. What are you picking on me? And then Flair shows up. I'm actually proud of you. I was kicking your ass, and then you realized that, you know, you could retain the title by getting disqualified. That's pretty clever. And I'm still going to destroy you, even though you are a strategic competitor. So DeVille's like, okay, fine. If that's the way for asking for the rematch, then I'll grant it. So we're going to make a match for Money in the Bank. Again, that's a fucking month from now. Now there's zero interest in the women's division on Raw. We already know that Charlotte versus... As soon as Charlotte won the match via DQ but didn't win the title, everyone who has a brain in their skull knew we were going to get a rematch for the title at Money in the Bank in July. This is not a surprising announcement. You could still hold off on it, though, for a couple of weeks to give the illusion of there might be somebody else who could possibly be a title contender. What are you going to do for a week, for a month? Have four contract signings? You're going to make them tag together and see if they can coexist? This is fucking stupid. You don't have to jump right into you get a rematch. Oh, it's just so lazy. Hey, remember last week where Dana and Mandy were getting their pictures taken, and then they could hear people wrestling in a ring, so they walked over, and it was Tamina and Natty, and they were like, hey, could you keep it down? We're trying to get pictures taken. And because that requires absolute silence, apparently. Matt and Tamina were like, well, if you guys were less concerned with your image and more concerned with your in-ring work, then maybe you'd be champs by now. And then they had a brawl. And then Mandy lost to Natty on the pre-show, which super makes me want to see them have a tag match for the titles. Anyway, Natty and Tamina are getting their pictures taken last night. I'll bet you can't guess what happens next. They happen to hear a sound coming from the nearby ring. Boy, that sound sure is loud. It's making it hard for us to concentrate. How can we smile at the cameras when there's so much sound going on? We better walk over and see what it is. Oh, wouldn't you know it? It's Mandy and Dana. They're wrestling and making a lot of noise. It's almost like it's the exact opposite of the thing that happened last week. Well, that's interesting. No, it's not. It's not interesting at all. It's fucking stupid. Hey, guys, could you keep it down? Without any hint of like self-awareness of the hypocrisy. Like, Natty and Tamina, like, guys, you're getting in the way of us getting our picture taken. And Mandy and Dana are like, oh, really? But I thought we were supposed to work on our moves. Well, that's all we're doing. How about you want to get in here? And let's show you how we do our moves. So the champs try and storm the ring. They get kicked back to the floor and that's it. I don't know when we're having this fucking tag match for the titles. I do know there's like really only one tag team that's coming into contact with Natty and Tamina, and it's Mandy and Dana. But now there are all these tag teams out there because the women are only allowed to qualify for Money in the Bank if they're in a tag team. So Randy versus John Morrison is a Money in the Bank match. Miz is at ringside. Riddle isn't. Not for a while anyway. So Orton is gonna go for the RKO, except Miz squirts him in the face with the drip stick. Still can't believe that they're making me say drip stick. So Riddle comes down on his scooter and chases Miz around the ring, Miz in his wheelchair. And because of this, Randy is distracted and gets knocked down, dropped on the canvas, and then Morrison hits Starship Payne on Randy Orton and gets the victory. Randy Orton lost to John Morrison. I love John Morrison, but he's been treated as an absolute fucking nobody with his booking recently. So the idea that he would even be in a qualifying match, much less be booked to win it, is patently absurd. Again, I really like John Morrison. John Morrison in a Money in the Bank ladder match is going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. We do a lot of really cool stuff. I mean, he's not going to win it or anything, but it'll be a lot of fun to have him in there. Hey, that's weird. That's kind of like the exact same thing they did with Ricochet. Ricochet in the match with a future Hall of Famer, AJ Styles, beats him. Now he's going to be in the Money in the Bank match. Morrison in the match with a surefire future Hall of Famer in Randy Orton. Definitely no chance to beat him. Beats him. So now we have Morrison and Ricochet in the Money in the Bank match, and you know for a fact neither guy is going to win the Money in the Bank. Time to start putting guys in the Money in the Bank that might actually win. Riddle realizes that he distracted Orton, and Orton is pissed. And Riddle realizes he screwed up. So the little guy, Kevin, right? He's interviewing Baszler, Nia Jax, and Reginald because Baszler and Nia Jax have a match versus Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss, who used to be tag team partners, but Alexa Bliss has beaten up Nikki Cross on a few occasions months ago to prove that they're no longer friends. But now they are tonight because they are. Shayna Baszler at Hell in a Cell lost her match to Alexa Bliss because Alexa Bliss can hypnotize you with her eyes. Honestly, I'm not against supernatural shit if it's done right and in the greater context of the story makes sense. Shayna Baszler was locked in a closet. She barricaded herself in there with a closet with a demon doll. That's fucking stupid. Right? It's fucking stupid. But if that's a thing that happened, what therefore happens after that? Okay? Maybe Shayna Baszler questions whether or not she's going insane. Maybe Shayna Baszler is hearing voices, not like Randy Orton hearing voices, hearing actual voices, voices telling her to do stuff, voices like that she can't pinpoint where they're coming from. She thinks she might be going crazy, but you don't tell people, hey, I think I might be going crazy, because then they think you're going crazy. So on the off chance that you're not going crazy, you kind of keep that shit to yourself. So there's a point in the match where she's trying to do her limb work, her wrist work on Alexa Bliss, and Alexa Bliss is looking at her, and Shayna Baszler starts shaking something off, like she's hearing voices and doesn't know where they're coming from, and is fucking freaking her out. Now, I'm not against that entirely, but the whole story doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So you can't just shoehorn things that might be interesting into a pile of shit because it doesn't work. I wish it would, but it doesn't. Sorry. She, in the match, Alexa Bliss hypnotizes Nia Jax and causes Nia Jax to slap Reginald. And then Nia Jax comes out of the catatonic state, and wonders why Reginald is writhing around in the ground in agony. Alexa Bliss breaks out of the Kira Fuda clutch, because she can do that. She hits that Velveteen Dream DDT used to do. She's stolen that from him. Good. And she hits that, and then her Twisted Bliss for the victory over Shayna Baszler on Sunday at Hell in a Cell. Last night, Shayna Baszler is walking down with Nia Jax. Now, those two aren't friends anymore, but they are now. Also, Shayna hates Reginald. She beat him up. She beat the shit out of him a couple of weeks ago, but now they're friends. Fuck this. It's super fucking lazy. Okay? It's just super fucking lazy. Don't do that anymore. You broke them up. That you had to have broken them up because Shayna beat up Nia's boyfriend. So they're not tag team partners anymore. You did that. You already did that. Now they're not tag team partners. Apparently they are. They say obviously Reginald knows what happened would never happen again. Baszler's like, what are you scared? I'm not worried about anybody stopping it from quiet. We're not scared. And they're like, oh, but there is something weird about Bliss. That's so weird about Alexa. She's so weird. But we're not scared. Spoiler alert, they're scared. Also, before the match, Nikki Cross, who has spent the last few weeks being super excited about not being pinned in 2 minutes, Nikki Cross is backstage. She's used this newfound confidence that she has after not being pinned inside of 2 minutes to create a superhero persona. She's got a mask, like a Robin mask, you know, that goes around the eyes. It's blue. She's got a blue and gold unitard thing that she wears. And it's got an emblem, and the emblem is a butterfly. And she's got these bracers that she wears on her forearms. And she looks fucking stupid. I hesitate to do this because I thought, of course, why wouldn't you think this? This was all Vince's idea. And look at the idea that he had to dress up the Revival as a couple of clowns. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. Thank God. But he literally had them dress up as fucking clowns. That was an idea that they had. They had done like mock-ups for what they were going to look like and everything. It was like, Jesus Christ. Why wouldn't you think that this terrible idea is Vince's idea? So I tweeted out, because this is true, I had just tuned in to Raw. Just turned it on. And dear God, what the fuck have they done to Nikki Cross? As it turns out, they didn't do anything to Nikki Cross. Nikki Cross did this to Nikki Cross. This was her idea. This was her brainchild. She wanted to be this butterfly-themed superhero. It's like a Mighty Molly type of character, right? The Hurricane. You know how sometimes you have a friend, a loved one, somebody you care about, somebody you admire, and you see them making a bad life choice. Maybe it's a friend of yours, a cousin or something, and you can tell that the person that they're dating is bad news. Like it's just not going to work out. Like they don't have anything in common, or he says really shitty things behind her back. Whatever it is, you're like, this is only going to end in terrible heartache. But in the moment, right now, that person you love is super happy. So excited about this decision they've made. Do you take your loved one, your friend, aside and tell them, this is a bad choice you're making? This is bad. I know you don't want to hear this now. The choices you are making are only going to end in horrible heartbreak for you. Well, I mean, you could say that to them, but in the moment, they don't want to hear that. They can't hear that right now. They're not ready to hear it. So all you do is you run the risk of losing a friend. So maybe you just keep your mouth shut and let them be happy for a while. until they see the error of their ways. Whatever you do, when that happens, you don't say, I told you so. Right? Because that's not very good. That's not very nice. When, not if, when, this fucking butterfly superhero gimmick crashes and burns. Let's not say to Nikki Cross, we told you so. Okay? When I say, oh my God, what have they done to Nikki Cross? That still applies. Nikki Cross is a brilliant women's wrestler. Look at some of the stuff she did 4 years ago in NXT. She had a last woman standing match with Asuka on an episode of NXT that was just amazing. She had multiple NXT women's championship matches. Her whole character as part of Sanity was so, so great. She's a great wrestler. And they didn't use her after they broke her up from Alexa Bliss. Before they put her with Alexa Bliss, she wasn't used. They finally found a way to use her by putting her with Alexa Bliss in this weird odd couple pairing. And then they broke them up. They broke her off from Alexa Bliss because Alexa Bliss got possessed by Bray Wyatt or something. And they broke them up. And then she wasn't used on TV for months. And then finally, she was back on, apparently as a way to build to this superhero character, to like be super excited about only about not being squashed in 2 minutes. What did they do to Nikki Cross? They made her crazy. They made her crazy. She started doubting herself as a person. Like, I can't be seen by Vince as a real wrestler, as a future women's champion. He won't see me that way. So I have to get his attention to be used in some way. I mean, the alternative is I just sit in catering for the rest of my contract, or I try to do something. And the something she tried to do is this butterfly superhero character thing. So I don't blame her for that. If those are the two alternatives, I get it. I get it. I understand. But once Vince sees you as this kind of gimmick, that's it for you. Like, maybe you have a fun little run as a mid-card comedy act. Maybe it lasts for a couple of years even, if you're popular enough with the fans. But maybe it fizzles quickly and crashes and burns, and Vince loses interest in it. And then you're never going to be seen in any other way as the butterfly superhero chick. You'll never be seen any other way. So it's her idea, but the only reason she had this idea is because she was so desperate to get out from catering that she will do anything to get on TV. And of course she loves this idea, and she's so excited about it. This was the idea that she had that got her out of catering, which is the worst place for somebody like Nikki Cross to be. So in this match, Nikki Cross is back together with Alexa Bliss, which doesn't make any fucking sense. But okay. Alexa Bliss hypnotizes Reginald this time to slap Nia, or was going to, and he stopped himself. I forget. Who fucking cares? Alexa and Nikki win. I think Nikki wins. She get the pinfall. I forget. Alexa and Nikki are Money in the Bank, and Asuka and Naomi are Money in the Bank, and that's good. Those four women deserve to be in the Money in the Bank match. We'll see which four show up from SmackDown. Nikki is so positive about this butterfly superhero gimmick. She's so into it. I'm so happy for her that she's happy. I just don't want to see her come crashing back down to earth when Vince decides it's no longer something he wants to do, because she will never be seen as anything other than that again. I feel bad for her, and I wish I could look at it and be as excited for her about this thing that she is. And I really wish I wasn't such a cynical, pessimistic piece of shit, but I am. And this gimmick sucks, Nikki. It does. I know you don't see it yet, but it fucking sucks. It's not going to work out well for you. And I feel bad because I have been a big fan of Nikki Cross for years. And I'm so sorry that this is what it came to. So Drew talks to Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville, like, you don't have to compete tonight. That horrible structure must have destroyed you. He's got horrible scars all over, my God. Like, you don't have to compete tonight. Like, no, I will, because then I'll win Money in the Bank, and then I'll be able to get back to my title. You know, because he lost to Lashley, so he can't ever challenge Lashley for the title again. But maybe the Money in the Bank is like a loophole of that. I'm not sure. So Riddle, anyway, before the Riddle and McIntyre match, Cedric Alexander, Jeff Hardy, Sheamus, and Jinder Mahal and his two cronies are backstage, and they're arguing about who deserves to qualify for Money in the Bank. So Neville and Adam Pearce walk up, and they go, "Wait, no. I'm sorry. You guys can't qualify for Money in the Bank. I know Jinder and you, Jeff, are both former WWE champions, but you can't be in a qualifier for Money in the Bank." And Sheamus is like, I want to do it. Hey, how about me? I can wrestle even though I got a broken nose. And we're like, well, then you can defend your title then. Like, no, I got to run off. I'm going to go hurt. Like, I can't believe, says Jinder, I can't believe that Ricochet and John Morrison, they're jokes. Why are they able to? How about, why is McIntyre getting another chance? Well, now, hold on one second. Now, what if somebody who qualified were to get hurt? Maybe you would consider me as an alternative? And Cedric is like, I also like the sign of that. And Sonya and Adam Pearce are like, well, no promises. So I'm like, is Jinder going to attack Ricochet to keep him out of this thing and take his place? That's what I thought, you know, because Ricochet being in a ladder match for a guaranteed shot at the WWE title is just too nice of a thing. And all good things are bad. all good things lead to bad things, WWE. Everyone who saw my tweet about Jinder Mahal attacking Ricochet is like, no, he's gonna attack. He's gonna attack Drew after Drew beats Riddle. I was like, don't be so sure. It's perfectly WWE to not realize what the hell they're doing and do something stupid. So, Drew and Riddle is a great match because Riddle is incapable of having a bad match right now. He's an alleged rapist, and I hate that about him, but it's impossible for him to have a bad match right now. He and Drew are great. Drew gets to sell the hell out of losing in the Hell in a Cell match, which is why I think it would be fine if he had lost to a regular move in Hell in a Cell instead of the fucking schoolboy roll-up bullshit. Because he's going to sell the damage anyway. It's a great match. It's one you should go out of your way to see. Riddle ends up Drew gets him up there to like do the reverse Alabama slam or the Bama slamma, as Sean calls it. But he rolls him up into a victory roll to get the pinfall out of nowhere. So Drew McIntyre was so protected. You can't have him lose inside Hell in a Cell to the WWE champion, but you can have him lose clean to Riddle the following night on Raw. How does that make fucking sense? How does that make fucking sense? It doesn't. I don't understand. Riddle wins. Now, Orton has been standing up at the top of the ramp watching the whole thing. So Riddle hops on a scooter and goes over to the top. He's like, hey, man. Hey, are you what's up, Orton? He's like, come on, dude. What's wrong? I'm always here for you. You want to talk? And Orton is pissed. I think he's pissed that Riddle qualified and he didn't. I guess. Later it is mentioned that next week there will be a second chance Money in the Bank qualifier with Orton versus AJ versus Drew, all three people who lost their qualifying match get another chance to be in the to get qualified. But you just told Jeff Hardy and Jinder Mahal and Cedric that, and Sheamus, that they can't qualify. Those qualifying matches are already set. Well, how about instead of having a second chance match, you give all these people, the people who you told they couldn't have a first chance, how about you put them in a qualifying match? What a bunch of bullshit is that? Oh, I'm sorry. The qualifying matches are already set, including this one, where the three losers get a second chance. That's fucked up. Which is part of this other thing, where Jackson Riker is standing around like smacking himself with a fucking strap. And Mansoor walks up. And Mansoor should stay the fuck away from Jackson Riker. I don't care if he's being booked as a babyface right now. That guy is one bad flashback away from trying to carve out Mansoor's Adam's apple. Like, he's going to get war on terror flashbacks. He's insane. Like, I was just asking for my advice, for some advice, but I'll just leave. And then right as he's walking, Ray Riker's like, never let your enemy escape.
What?
I said, never let your enemy escape. Escape. Escaping is bad. He keeps saying escape. Watch those close to you, because they're usually wolves in sleep's clothing. I'm facing Elias in a strap match next week. When he is bound to me, he will have no place to run or hide.
He's insane. He's a fucking off his rocker fucking lunatic. That's what they're doing with Jackson Riker.
So Mansoor about to leave, and then he bumps into Mustafa Ali, says, you're asking the wrong questions of the wrong people. What you should be asking is why Money in the Bank qualifying spots were stolen from you and me. How? Ask yourself this. How are you going to climb the ladder of success when they won't even let you in the qualifying match? You won't even have an opportunity for an opportunity. It's time you built your own ladder. And Mustafa Ali is fucking right. They're never going to let guys like Mansoor and Ali back in the... Ali's was in the match once. Should have fucking won it. That was the Brock Lesnar bullshit. But Mansoor's no. And then Riker's like self-flagellating with the strap. He's literally hitting himself with a fucking strap. I honestly don't fucking care. So Mansoor, Ali, Cedric, Jeff Hardy, Jinder, Sheamus, they're not allowed to be in a first chance qualifier. But Drew and Randy and AJ get to be in a second chance qualifier. Like, it's putting your finger on the scales a little bit, I think. And that's kind of shitty. Don't do that. So, they confirm Kofi versus Bobby Lashley for the title at Money in the Bank. But they said earlier that Woods had to beat Lashley in the Hell in a Cell in order for Kofi to get that match. But they confirmed the match, Kofi and Lashley, before the... Like, what do you... Pick some shit and just do it. So Woods versus Lashley. Woods gets the chance to do some stuff. He's really impressive. He's very impressive. I would much rather see him in a Money in the Bank qualifying match, winning it and being in the Money in the Bank match, or as soon as Sheamus is healthy enough to have matches, have Xavier Woods be the guy who takes the U.S. title off of Sheamus. He's really, really, really talented. He's an amazing promo. They never really let do that kind of stuff. He's super charismatic. That's why he does all the stuff for like G4 and his YouTube channel, all that shit. And he's also brilliant in the ring. He's just short. You know? If you're not going to actually do the King of the Ring tournament and let him be in it and win it, let him do something else. I'm sick of him being booked as the New Day's kid brother. He's so much better than that. He's a full-fledged member of that team. And he's the only one who gets treated like a kid. He's able to get a really big near fall because he walks the top rope elbow drop. Really great. But Lashley gets a spear and then applies the Hurt Lock, and Woods taps out. It's a good match. It's unnecessary, unless the only reason you're doing it is to appease the USA Network. But also, I don't think qualifies as the same kind of match, because, you know, because one is a universal title match on SmackDown, and this one is not that. But I'm glad that Woods looked really good, even though he lost. That's kind of the way it works. Like, he looked really good against Orton, even though he lost. Looked really good against Riddle, even though he lost. Stop booking him like that. He's better than that. Then MVP gets into the cage and locks it behind him. And Lashley puts Woods in the Hurt Lock, and won't let him go. Does it right in front of Kofi, and Kofi has to stand outside the cage and be like, "Hey man, let him go, let my little brother go," basically. And Xavier gets to go, "Ow, ow, somebody help me, please help me, I can't defend myself, ow." Like, I get what you're doing, but it just doesn't feel right to always do that kind of shit with Xavier. And I mean, this is the kind of shit where, like, it's just so far from now, but this would be the kind of thing where I don't know when you do it, but it's a perfect timing to have Big E show up on Raw super pissed Bobby Lashley for trying to permanently injure Xavier Woods. Kofi cut a promo for like one of those little YouTube videos. They never actually show on TV. Where he comes out of the trainer's room and Xavier's like, "Xavier, he's really hurt, man. And I'm never going to stop fighting Bobby Lashley, blah, blah, blah." It's a good promo. Kofi's really good in it. But he does talk about how, okay, so maybe I'll just meet me out there. My boy Xavier won't be out there for me at Money in the Bank. He's like, he's going to be off TV for a month because he got put in the Hurt Lock for too long. Okay, fine. But this is why you probably could do this match closer to Money in the Bank, so it wouldn't be so obvious that you're, I don't know. Everybody talking about how this is a great episode of Raw and Raw's back and the in-ring wrestling is stellar. I won't say anything against it. The in-ring was very, very, very good. Qualifiers are nice. On the men's side especially, the women's side, the tag thing as opposed to singles ones just shows you how little they want to let the women wrestle. The Eva Marie thing is a failure as it even starts. I don't even think the Piper Niven big babyface push where she beats up Eva Marie for giving her the name of Dewdrop. I just don't think the people who are waiting for that are going to be satisfied with the way that turns out. Because it's WWE, man. So on the men's side, we're thinking probably Drew beats Randy and AJ. And Randy's extra pissed because Riddle costs him that match. Probably, yes. I don't know. Maybe if Drew wins that match, then Jinder does attack him. I don't know. It's. I'm glad they're doing qualifying matches. Don't get me wrong. I hate second chance qualifying matches. I hate them. I'm really happy to have Ricochet and Morrison and Riddle in this Money in the Bank match. I don't think there's a chance that any of them win it. So over on SmackDown, we got to get one of those four guys that'll actually win it. I mean, the guy that I'd book for it is Jimmy. I think Jimmy Uso somehow getting into that match. And winning the Money in the Bank briefcase would be a pretty interesting thing to do with the Roman storyline. But what do I know? Guys, it's late and I'm tired. Thanks for everybody for being here. I know I wasn't the most vociferous tonight as I normally am. Again, my parents are still visiting. They're still sleeping directly above me. So I'm not able to expand the way I normally would. Remember, when life gives you lemons, create a butterfly-themed superhero costume gimmick. Everything sucks.